Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the 33rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Keon Coleman, receiver, Florida State.
That's what I've been waiting for. That's what it's all about.
With the 60th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Cole Bishop, DB, Utah.
No, hey, stick to the plan.
The Buffalo Bills select Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle, Duke.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody, good morning. Excuse me. There's a cough button right here. I can just hit that.
It's a steamy one out there.
Humid?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's maybe nice. Our first taste of real humidity of the year.
Yeah, I might be right. High of 73 today, clouds. High of 79 on Friday.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
79 and nice?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm into that?
Yeah, I mean, into the 70s pretty much for the next week. Tomorrow the high is 69 and Wednesday it's 68. Going to creep up 2 degrees. Could have like a week straight of 70s. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Monday. Welcome to the next phase of the Buffalo Bills, right? That's what this
is.
Draft is in the books. Hockey's being played. I don't know what else, you know, you're into. But the draft, right? Might as well dig right into it, right? The draft. I put up a Twitter poll about the draft. As we've now seen the full scope of everything they're going to do. We'll talk about it with Sal Capaccio coming up at 7 o'clock. Everything we need to know from what the Bills said down at One Bills drive-through rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and on. The Twitter poll I put up was about the approach to the draft because no idea if these guys are going to be any good. Nobody knows, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think most people would admit. You might not like a pick, but that doesn't mean you don't necessarily like the player. You just... maybe you're wondering why they didn't do something different. Mm-hmm. So the Twitter poll I put up was, forgetting the players a bit, we don't know who will pan out and who won't. Do you like the Bills' approach to this year's draft? How does everybody feel about the approach? You can, did you like it? Yes, no, or meh?
Uh-huh.
Meh can mean, I don't know, I don't care, man. It's the draft, if you want.
Which was to make all 10 of their picks?
Yeah.
Right?
They made all 10 picks, which is something that... I want to say, of all the underdog things, that might have been it.
Yeah.
We'd been setting the over-under on 7.5 or 8.5, and 10 picks, all 10.
Yeah. One of which wasn't even a football player.
Right.
They picked a rugby guy.
They did.
In the 7th round. Approaches in starting with a receiver also. Even, like, again, we'll get into who the player is, but they started the draft with a receiver.
Yep.
They drafted, it was about 50-50, right, offense to defense in general. I think I saw by the capital spent, Warren Sharp had this chart, who invested, used more of their capital in offense and who used more of it in defense, and the Bills are like right down the middle.
Yep.
So like half and half. So
we've got Bean talking about retooling, right?
He said year in transition, something along those lines.
Year in transition. Will that translate to being in transition on the field in wins and losses? You know, is transition 11-6? Is it still division champs? But yeah, year in transition. We know that.
They lost. Team in transition team in, was the exact
A team quote. In transition.
Team in transition.
Which doesn't mean you're bad. Just means changing over a lot of bodies. And we knew that from the salary cap purge to the leadership purge. Some football related, others, you know, just financially, that's what they had to do. They draft a bunch of players that maybe can be future captains. Cole Bishop at the top of that list in the second round. They get a safety. They get defensive tackle. Like their first three picks, right? Receiver, safety, defensive line.
Yep.
Very predictable.
Yep.
Running back from there. Very predictable for their approach to this. I mean, you might not like it as early as they took it. It's actually a late running back for them.
Yeah.
A fourth rounder.
Fourth rounder.
It's a late running back.
Yep.
They add a bunch of pieces to the offensive line. And, you know, here we go.
They drafted a guy with the longest name ever.
That's right.
In the fifth round. Or was it the fourth round? Was Cedric Van Pran Granger? I think I got that down. That's one person. They also signed a guy in undrafted free agency named Bills, but that's for another
guy. They signed an undrafted free agent named Bills. They signed Frank Gore's son.
They did.
They added Quintez Cephas.
Yeah.
A wide receiver that was suspended all of last season because of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, offensive tackle Travis Clayton.
Yep, that's the rugby guy.
That's the rugby guy, international pathway guy, a cornerback from Penn State, on and on.
So they've been busy. They added a lot. A
lot of players.
Am I guessing that your poll's going to start off with the no?
I would always imagine that yes, and we did great wins out in all draft classes in all NFL markets.
Even when it includes that they traded with their arch nemesis.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's part of it.
It's
part of their draft, or part of their approach was willing to trade with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And guarantee Kansas City they were going to get their guy.
You know who else traded with Kansas City in this draft?
Who?
San Francisco.
Okay.
They did.
Different conference.
The Chiefs, but the Chiefs' first two picks came courtesy of Buffalo and San Francisco.
Two teams that they've...
allowing them to trade up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not that it has to matter, but that's, you know, that's part of it. So, all right, we've got a draft class, and they've added one receiver, and, I mean, now we're going, like, bargain basement, street free agent, DJ Chark, Quintez Cephas, maybe Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
But let's
Michael Thomas.
Sure, I mean, who knows?
Someone that's available. Bean said no trade is coming. Big trade is coming.
Yep.
I would
believe that.
You know, that's true until... Are you talking to fans there, or are you talking to the 49ers? Right? Who are you talking to?
Well,
Do you know the Niners' price, and the Niners are way too high for Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, and you say that, and then a week later or in 3 months, the Niners call back at training camp and say, hey, actually, remember that price that we were talking about at the draft? We might be willing to do that now. Now you might do it.
I legitimately don't know how the Bills make a trade for Ayuk with the salary cap situation. Yes, they could restructure, blah, 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 but you need the space to acquire him, and they don't have that. They need to clear up about...
They will in June.
I'm not sure if it'll be enough.
They get 10.
They need maybe a little bit more than 10, because he's all of 14, isn't he, on a cap hit? I think I'm going to give up on the idea of Ayuk as a realistic possibility for the Bills. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it interests them. I guess I could be wrong on that, but what the Bills have done... Yeah, Ayuk's cap hit is 14.1. They get, you know, if they get $10 million in space...
But how does that work? Can you re-sign him the moment?
No.
You can't do that before?
You need the space before you bring him in.
Okay.
So they'd need enough space for him.
Well, they have 4 right now, and they'll get 10, but they need to sign rookies too. So.
Right, right. So, I mean, they could wait to sign rookies. I don't know. Field Yates said it was basically impossible, and some of the other folks on Twitter that follow cap stuff say, without trading a player back the other way, which I guess that's possible, and all that. Whatever. I guess I just want to not think they're going to go for Ayuk. Why would they? What are they going to spend? They're going to trade next year's second?
Well, they still don't have a number one wide receiver.
I don't think they want one.
I don't believe them.
I don't think they want one.
I don't believe them. I think they maybe just they haven't gotten one yet. They've been at this. They are 1 month into replacing Stephon Diggs. And maybe it doesn't come this year but
that's right. I mean for this year.
For this year.
Next year we might be here talking about receiver again. But it's odd, in a draft that was flush with more receivers and, right, the best class in history, arguably,
They took one.
So when Bean's up there talking about, whether is it the press conference following the picks, or if it was at, there was a luncheon, and I'm seeing like transcripts of each one, so forgive me for not knowing exactly which came at which. It might have been the luncheon with ticket holders post-draft. Bean mentioned Tyrell Shavers as an option and said they also have a guy they're working out now. That had to be Quintez Cephas.
Mm-hmm.
So I part of the receiver conversation for me, Joe, is I am coming to terms with the death and passing of the Brian Daboll offensive attack and, I mean, accepting or whatever, welcoming, however you want to say it, they are a different football team by a lot. And this idea that they're just going to roll out that level of passing attack, I don't know how long it'll be until they do again. Keon Coleman looks like a nice player. There's some concerns. He's got a skill set that they have not had in a while. But this idea of the Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, Davis passing attack, that's a long way away. And that might just be by design. This might be the further evolution towards, you know, 12 personnel, a big body receiver, another running back, adding to the offensive line. I don't know if Joe Brady's Bills are going to be run heavy the whole time he's here or more run heavy than they have been. But I do think they start to look like a team that is built that way. Aren't they going to go more tight formation, positionless football? I mean, the idea about Keon Coleman, I don't know that he is a really good boundary receiver idea. A lot of the stuff you read about Coleman is that his success might most be in the slot, a power slot, a big slot. And the Bills have the slot. I mean, that is a crowded house.
I mean, it's loaded.
Yeah, with Shakir, who's very good, and Kincaid, who's very good, but a tight end that's playing the slot. And now here's...
And Samuel, who does it more than he does on the outside.
Yeah. So Samuel, I think, gets a good look outside. Mac Hollins going to be on the outside. And I'm sure Coleman will play some outside. They might try to put him out there a lot, but...
Bean says he sees him at the X.
Okay.
So like, good luck with that,
there's,
right? Like,
there's not a lot
we'll
of
see how that goes.
Right? There's not a lot of evaluators that think he can maybe be the X. They think he can be a power slot.
I think they think he's Gabe Davis. With maybe a little bit more...
He separates better than Gabe Davis.
He has better hands than Gabe Davis,
yeah.
I think. And he's, I think, better with the ball in his hands.
Yeah,
I
mean, run after catch.
I watched some of his punt return highlights over the weekend, and those are plays, those are cuts that you never saw Gabe Davis make. So I'm very open to the idea that he's going to be an upgraded version of Gabe Davis. He was the one they had on the outside, X receiver, like right up on the line of scrimmage for the last 2 years, primarily. Diggs kind of slid back into a different role. So, I mean, that's how they see Coleman. I saw the same thing, like Matt Harmon was one that thought like big slot would be easier to predict for him, having more success in the league. He's not going to have that chance. They were already crowded at that spot. Like, he is going to, I think, be asked to come in, and you're going to line up outside. You're going to block for us. You're going to be the guy Josh throws it to when the play breaks down and we got to throw a jump ball. We might throw some screens to you because you're good with the ball in your hands. Like, I think they're going to have a plan for him. Is it going to go well, though? Like, that is, I'm very skeptical of that. I'm not thinking, though, that he is any idea to replace Diggs. Like, he is. I think they see him as a Davis replacement, but I think we are going to be right back here in a year thinking this team needs a number one wide receiver.
Well, Warren Sharp did his way too early 2025 mock draft and put the Bills at receiver. Evan Stewart, Texas A&M.
Now the Evan Stewart?
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
I'm writing it down.
I'm not.
April 29th, the first time I heard a receiver in the 25 class.
We're not ready to get into that emotionally. It's going to be a long time until we have that conversation. Next year they have a one and two twos, and who knows?
We'll they have. I'll just say this: maybe it doesn't happen this year. Maybe Bean knows it can't happen this year. But I am not believing that they are subscribed to the idea for the next phase of Josh Allen's career, the next era of Josh Allen's career, that they do not have to have a loaded passing offense that includes a number one wide receiver. Because in a year, they are going to have picks and money. And if there is a guy available in 1 year, if they haven't done anything by then, and they've got a first, two twos, and they've got a lot of money coming off the books because they cut everybody this offseason, I am not thinking that they're going to say, no, we're okay because we have this run, more run-heavy offense with two tight ends and big wide receivers like Keon Coleman. I refuse to believe that they are going to be this forever if they're going to be this even for 1 year.
Team in transition. It's a good way to say it, though, right?
That's what he said.
And we're kind of trying to figure out, all right, what are you trying to be going forward?
Yeah.
Defensively, and this is where it gets to, like, the Bills have clearly a defensive identity, and Cole Bishop as a pick makes about as much sense as you possibly could, right? A versatile safety,
yep,
leadership kind of guy, heart and soul. Not to like about the Cole Bishop pick. Coleman is the well, if it's polarizing, maybe, or controversial, less so. His skill set had a lot of NFL draft pundits split. Mm-hmm. Not that he's worth a pick. This is not like, oh, this is not a good pick or you shouldn't pick him. It's about, you know, fit and how he should be used. Keon Coleman doesn't separate. And that can be a bit of a red flag, right? Like, you don't separate in college. How are you going to separate in the NFL? And that's what it comes to, like, putting him on the outside, putting him at the X might be dangerous. Matt Harmon of Reception Perception, you'll hear him a lot. You'll probably hear him on the afternoon show this week. And tweeted out videos, breakdowns, comparisons from him in the last 24 to 48 hours. The general idea is that Keon Coleman, his profile is not that different from like Rashi Rice, who had some success mm-hmm. this year in Kansas City, starting yeah. to come on, although he's going to miss some time. Jonathan Mingo, Treylon Burks, and right, no. Harmon's point yeah. is, listen, he can have a nice role. If you think you can make him out there at the X, you might be in trouble. And that's what the Bills are talking about they maybe can do. Now, I don't know how real that is. It was 2 years ago the Bills said Khalil Shakir could play on the outside when they drafted him. When they needed help on the outside, they drafted Khalil Shakir and said he could play on the outside. How much has he played on the outside? Very little. Then again,
They also called Dalton Kincaid a wide receiver a year ago, and then he literally played like a tight end.
That's right. And, you know, in terms of he can play out wide, this team did line up Latavius Murray out wide last year a few times. So, you know.
Yep.
With Coleman, you get a big body, and I think it was Benjamin Solak of The Ringer, the first one that I ever saw say, Keon Coleman of the Bills, perfect fit because of the way that Josh Allen plays. And I believe that. There was one video going around that called it tall ball, that these two are going to be able to play tall ball. And think about Allen when plays break down, looking for help, looking for a target, whether this is red zone or whatever this is. He'll be able to see Keon Coleman, a large frame with big hands, and just put it up high for him. And Coleman, who's going to be good at contested catches, will be able to reel it in. Now, that's a little bit of a specialist. That's a role. That's not a guy that's separating and getting open and commanding 150 targets. His target number might be around, I don't know, 100 this year as a rookie.
Oh, wait, his target number?
Maybe, if he's going to play. Then again, Brandon Bean seemed to indicate he might not be ready to start at the beginning of the
Which
season.
Which, I mean, who is he going to beat out? He's got to beat out right now Justin Shorter to play at the X.
He's got to beat Mac Hollins. He's got to beat Justin Shorter.
Like, come on. Like, the bar is not very high
it is
for
not.
Him to beat somebody.
That's right.
I mean, it'd be insane. You have a big problem if he can't beat out those two to be starting on the outside, I think. I mean, if he's 100 targets or around that, isn't he second on the team? I think he's lower than that. I think he is. I don't know. I'm real worried about the profile. I'm real worried about the player. I think he's fourth. Is he 60, 70 targets maybe this year? And Shakir goes up even more, and Curtis Samuel. Like, to me, that weekend was the best weekend that Khalil Shakir could have asked for, because I think he is in line for a massive uptick, which does not have to be a bad thing, by the way. He was like the most efficient target in the league in the last 8 games of the season.
And Kincaid was right there too.
And Kincaid was too. So I think their big three is going to be Kincaid, Samuel, and Shakir. And Coleman will play, and Coleman will block, and Coleman will have this role with contested catches, and maybe he'll be the guy they target in the red zone. But I am thinking this offense runs through different guys ahead of him.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. I'm Keon Coleman, and the wide receiver train pulls in the station with one receiver in a historically deep class. Color me disappointed in a number of ways, but, you know, not necessarily predicting that it's going to be terrible or anything like that. Coleman is intriguing. And it is funny, the number of people that immediately went to something that I thought during this process, which is the Bills placed a bet on Josh Allen, who's a very polarizing prospect with freakish traits, and they hit the jackpot. And that's why the first four times, I read scouting reports on Keon Coleman. I thought, well, the Bills love physical freaks like this. He doesn't have an incredibly high RAS score. I think it's like 8-something. So he's not exactly a total physical freak, but he has freakish traits.
He does. I will. Joe Marino, I heard him on Coleman on his breakdown on Locked On Bills. That 8.1 raw athletic score, which is out of 10, by the way. Like 8.1 is not bad, but he did point out it's kind of incomplete.
Because he didn't do a couple drills that would maybe bring it down.
Yeah, he didn't run like the 3-cone drill. There were some of the quickness drills that he just didn't run. Had he run them, how high would that score be? Like, when I hear he's a physical freak, like, I don't know about that. I think he's just big.
Yeah.
I think he's just big. I don't think he's that fast.
He's big.
He's maybe faster, I saw, though, than what he was at the 40, at the combine. He ran like a 4.63 at the combine and maybe got into the low 4.5s at his pro day. And mm-hmm. Bean said they had like some GPS thing from him at Florida State that said he's more of a 4.5 guy, not a 4.4 guy, but a 4.5 guy. So maybe his speed has been, you know, overly criticized, but Bean said it himself. But I don't know what the exact quote was. It was basically he's not going to run away from people.
No, he's not a burner. He does have good play speed, though, right? Coleman
the
is
gauntlet the, drill.
Yeah, Coleman is like the new face of the gauntlet drill. Yeah. If he turns into a good and productive receiver, it'll be, well, yeah, sure, he runs a 4.5, so does Brandon Ayuk, but
right.
He gets open all the time. For Coleman, he doesn't get open.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All the time, but he plays fast, and the gauntlet drill is proof of that. I mean, he ran the gauntlet much faster than Troy Franklin, who's got a better 40 time.
He will be the biggest indictment on the gauntlet drill that we've ever seen. In 3 years, whether we respect the gauntlet drill or not, it'll
be down to Keon Coleman.
Whether he's good or not.
803-0550. Let's get some calls in. Connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Bill and Kenmore. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Regarding Coleman, there was another guy that was taken late. I was hoping the Bills would get Burton, who went to Cincy in the third round. And I guess there were some red flags on him. But somebody said he was like the fourth best receiver in the class after the top three. And I guess Cincinnati figures they can kind of straighten him out. But Coleman, if you take Burton's time in that 10-yard shuttle, he did it like 1.53. Coleman did it 1.54. So he's just as fast as this guy who maybe was ranked as the fourth best receiver. Obviously, he doesn't have a burner speed. He's not going to run a 4.38. But again, with his size and the fact and the quickness and you know the initial time at the line of scrimmage, it looks like he's going to get himself open pretty much on a regular basis, as opposed to maybe Davis, who had a struggle doing that because he just maybe was too heavy. I just thought I'd mention that Coleman may be faster, especially at the line there. And also, of course, he's going to not have a problem with press coverage because he's so big.
He has the only problem with that is in his career so far, he has had lots of problems with press coverage.
Maybe he needs some coaching.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Thanks, Bill. That's the thing. Like, any one of these guys, it's going to be, and that's something with Josh Allen, too. Like, Josh Allen, he's not accurate. That was true. And he, overhauled his throwing motion and changed his mechanics and, became a very accurate quarterback. And we don't really think about his accuracy all that much anymore at all. A lot of players, when we went through this process, we went and found scouting reports of great receivers. I found, DeAndre Hopkins and Justin Jefferson doesn't separate, isn't going to run away from anybody. Some of the things we're saying here today. The biggest problem or whatever, the thing to watch is how the Bills use Keon Coleman. I don't think he's a future one. I think he's a nice role player. Some of the other comparisons I saw were like Will Fuller had a role, right? Fuller was a speedster down the field. That's probably not what Coleman's going to do. A lot of his catches at Florida State were contested catches. So it's good that he's good at contested catches because he makes a lot of contested catches. 26% of his catches were contested. And not everybody has to win with separation. I mean, if you go to NextGenStats, NFL.com, I mean, these are conversations we're going to have over the next couple of weeks and months. Not everybody gets open with and succeeds in the NFL with separation. Some guys do, some guys don't. And I'll find some of the guys that are like the low separators here. Michael Thomas late in his career here, but good receivers. Like Drake London's separation is not elite right now. George Pickens is not. These are guys that necessarily...
Pickens is maybe a decent comp for him.
Yeah, Pickens is 2.3. DJ Chark, Calvin Ridley's separation, not exactly great right now. T. Higgins, not great right now. So you've got guys that win that way. Mike Evans, another one, at least at this point. Quentin Johnston is right here as well. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Isn't Pickens like a best-case scenario for Coleman? Because that's a guy that does not win with speed, that doesn't get it open a ton, but he makes
circus catches.
Right. Like he will be on SportsCenter Top 10 once a week. Isn't that the best-case scenario for Coleman? Is there a higher best-case scenario? Like, I'm thinking he's about as good as is good. It's very good.
The thing about Pickens, though, I don't want to use reception perception for everything, but it's a good way to break down like how they do.
Yeah.
The difference between Pickens and Keon Coleman seems to be their opposites. Coleman kills zone.
Yeah.
He's very good against zone. Pickens, terrible against zone.
He's like the one-on-one.
Yes.
Okay.
One-on-one, Pickens beats you. And that's something that Coleman doesn't really do. The percentile he's at beating man in press coverage is pretty bad. It's like 20th percentile and below. Whereas, Pickens is in the 69th at beating press coverage. So
right.
We'll see. Like, how the Bills deploy him is a big, big part of this. He's big. He's funny, too. He makes a good first impression. And appears to be, like a funny kid.
He will win people over between now and their first game.
If he has not already.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
803-0550. Give us a call on Keon Coleman and the Bills draft class. How'd you like their approach? Jeremy and Joe on a Monday following the draft. Next on the schedule is the schedule release. Plenty to get to. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Macy's, what you mean? They be on sale on the rack, all the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. I'll take it up personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
Keon Coleman talking about his jacket. He was ready. Thought it was cold here, right? Must have been it.
Yeah.
Packed the winter coat.
Yeah.
At his introductory presser.
He's a character.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Monday. The draft in the books. All these teams, you know, congratulations to all 32 teams to get the guys that they thought they can't believe they're all there. Everybody got everybody they wanted. And the Bills have Keon Coleman and a draft class with some offensive linemen, some defensive role players that hopefully can grow into bigger and better players. A defensive end that has had a lot of sacks, kid from Troy, and defensive tackle in the third round. So like they kind of did what we thought they would do, except only one receiver.
We thought there'd be another.
We thought there'd most certainly be two.
And there was a point, though, maybe when was this, like the sixth round? I think it was like in the sixth round. They had three picks left, maybe, where I thought to myself, I wasn't even watching the draft at that point. I was keeping track of it, but I wasn't watching it. I hope they don't take one here.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend the next month or two thinking about, even if it's not, you know, Ayuk, if it's Beckham, if it's some low-level free agent, I'd rather think about them signing a guy like that than have to hear about why their seventh-round pick is going to suffice the depths of their receiving corps.
Well, they're going to go through that this offseason. I mean, that's what this training camp is going to be about, Justin Shorter and KJ Hamler.
And well, I guess actually, now that I'm saying this, the Beckham-level free agent, did they already do it with Quintez Cephas?
No.
Are we going to be talking about him?
Beckham's a much higher-level free agent than
Quintez
Cephas.
But what I mean is, like, is that their move?
No.
Like, is this the receiver group they're going to take to camp?
They'll add another one. Maybe that's, I don't know, DJ Chark.
You do not like him.
He's bad. he's not good. So, right. We'll see. Brian in Arcade. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I'm seeing a lot of analysis. So this is a B. This is a solid player. And, yeah, individually, if you look pick by pick, yeah, the players are picked in about the round that they were going to be picked in. So no gigantic reaches. So if you went strictly on the player by player, sure, it's a B. This is a gigantic F. Where is all the playmaking? You have the best quarterback in the history of this franchise, and you just pass on all these receivers. And you pick a guy who can't separate. Great, you took one receiver, golf clap. You did it, guys. Unbelievable how we just passed. Third round comes by. Ugh, we have no running back. We have no backup. Okay, we'll just wait for Dwayne Wright to come off from Tennessee. And now you're down in the second cut of running backs and the third cut of running backs. And like Joe said, it gets apparent like fifth, sixth round. Oh, no, we got to have that backup linebacker instead of a receiver. So you watch Franklin go off the board. You watch Javon Baker go off the board. And that's like tick, tick, tick. Okay, you're not going to get anybody now. Even that guy from like Southern Missouri State, they didn't get it. They didn't get him either. They just passed on him too. Gigantic F. And here's the other thing. If this was like Bean talks, oh, I got to have that third rounder. Just eating him alive. Got to have that third rounder. And what do? We took up a backup defensive tackle from Duke. Passed up any of the skill position talent there. No speed on this team at all. 4.38 running backs. San Francisco took a running back right behind where we took Guerrero or whatever his name is. 4.33. There's no playmaking. Josh, good luck, man. You're going to have to do everything in these playoff games. He's going to have to do everything. Play perfect and then get told, like, ooh, you had a pick. Ooh, can't be Pat Mahomes. It's a joke. And here's the other thing, guys, last thing. In Buffalo, we know we have a problem with talent in this town. How much longer before Allen goes, I give up? Like, they haven't been able to build me an elite offense. You could have had Worthy and Mitchell. And you come out with Keon Coleman. You trade out. That's the guy you picked, the 12th best receiver in the class. Cool, man. I mean, gigantic F, regardless of what the pundits say, and you give him a B by positional value. It's an F.
Thanks, Brian.
On that last point, I think Bean and maybe also Coleman said this, that Allen wanted Coleman.
Yeah.
So on that front,
they already have a relationship.
Yeah. So Allen's not going to be upset by this. In any way, at least not, you know, in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, they did. It was the hardest draft to like that included a receiver with their first pick.
Because they only took one.
They only took one. They traded down with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it, for me personally, it was the one I think I wanted the least. I could not have dreamed of a draft class that would have been harder to like that featured a receiver with the first pick. But they did. That was the Allen class for me. I mean, this doesn't have to go the same way, but I was the approach I'm taking is what I took with that class, which was Allen is not the quarterback I wanted, but they needed to draft a quarterback. And that's where I'm at a little bit right now, which is Coleman is not the receiver I wanted, but they needed to draft a receiver.
It's funny. One of the most interesting things to me, Joe, I think, is the trade down, trade up idea. The number of times it was just mentioned that the Bills traded down and added picks, and they did not do that. At no point did they add any picks.
Mm-hmm.
They shuffled picks, right? They trade down four spots or five spots in the first round with Kansas City, and they move up 40 spots in another round. 60
that's
spots.
Where the caller's talking about the tackle.
So yeah. To me, and this is what's really interesting about this draft and what the Bills are, what Bean's strategy is in the draft. He also said he wanted to trade up for Cole Bishop, and he was trying to. And he would have been happy to give a fourth rounder to get up higher to take Cole Bishop. So there's almost a point where we're going to talk with Mike Shope today at 9 o'clock because I wanted to get Mike on because I've listened to the afternoon show and he is the champion of trading down. Do you get credit for trading down when you just use it to move up in other rounds? Because that's what the Bills did. They didn't really trade down and add pieces. The traditional trade down route that people love is, hey, you can move up five spots and we'll take a pick from you because more picks are better. The Bills didn't come away with more picks. They came away with different picks.
Mm.
And then They tried to trade up while having those different picks.
Right.
So are you a smart franchise because you traded down in the first round and that's really good, even though you were about to give a fourth round pick right back to go get Cole Bishop in the second? Because for me, I mean, I just think when the Bills trade down, I don't think it's process more picks. I think it is consistently we didn't have anybody at that spot we really wanted. Like we kind of got crossed up. The board didn't fall our way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to me when they trade down. And they've done it twice now, one for Keon Coleman, one for James Cook. So I don't know. That doesn't have to be right, but to me there's a little takeaway that they never trade down and they don't do it. In this case, they did not do it for more picks. They thought the meaty middle of the third and the fourth would be a better draft, and that's why they wanted that third-round pick.
Yep.
So it's just interesting about do you get credit for trading down when you trade down just essentially to trade up?
Yeah. They also – you know how long it's been since a seventh-round pick made this team?
Ooh.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I think I missed one. Never mind. It's only
Tanner,
been 2 years.
Tanner Gentry?
Baylen Spector did. Two years ago. Otherwise, it's been like 4 or 5 years.
Sure, but like Baylen Spector making the team. I mean,
right.
That's...
But no, like they made 10 picks. They made 10 picks. And that's another thing. Well, like I didn't think they needed to add picks in any way because I don't expect all 10 of these guys to make the roster. Wouldn't it be stunning if all 10 made the roster? Maybe 8 will. I don't know. But they've never made more than 8 in a class. This is the most picks they've ever made with Brandon Bean as their GM. And like the fact that so many of them were on day 3, I did not need them to make the trade with Kansas City. How much better of a defensive tackle do you expect to get in Dwayne Carter than who you would have gotten in the middle of the fourth round? Just maybe he'll be great. Maybe he'll be better. Or maybe the guy that would have went in the middle of the fourth round will be great too. So we could pick apart, you know, the middle of their draft, I guess. And I can do that. Looking at some of the guys they picked, I'm going to trust Joe Marino, the center they took out of Georgia, is a really good idea. That dude played 44 games at center for Georgia. So that pick I might like a lot. But we'll see how many make the roster. I can't believe, though, they made 9 picks after Keon Coleman and not one of them was a wide receiver.
803-0550. Tim, Scott, stick with us. Want to hear your takes on the draft, and you out there as well. How do you like it? What do you think about the Bills' draft class? The receiver class, of course, is just one guy, Keon Coleman, and now to the streets for Quintez Cephas and some other ideas. But they're a team in transition, and I feel like I want to remember that term a lot this year. What does that mean for Josh Allen? What's that mean for your 2024 Bills and trying to win the division and win a Super Bowl in this Allen window? Jeremy and Joe, more of your phone calls on WGR.
Our typical lead, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview, that's such bull****. I mean, it's ass. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. It's bull.
Colts GM Chris Ballard on a soapbox about reports of A.D. Mitchell's attitude, whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
And just in general on the draft, which I tend to agree there. Like, it is a lot of, listen, anonymous source reporting has its place. This is anonymous source scouting reporting, you know? Like, It's one of the things that frustrates me about the draft. One scout says, this receiver is no good, has him off his board. Like, okay.
What I would want to ask to Chris Ballard, though, is why then, if all of it is BS,
why did he fall?
How come a 6'3 dude, 6'4 receiver that ran a 4'3 was the 11th receiver off the board? Why'd that happen then?
Yeah.
Because it feels like the way the draft played out, that a lot of teams thought the thing that was reported was true.
Kevin tweets in about the Kansas City trade. I'm glad you brought this up, Kevin. Thank you for this. Could you guys maybe bring how they thought it was okay to guarantee that with the KC trade, KC got the receiver they wanted? We have stories out there that they blocked the trade with the Patriots to get a receiver. It makes no sense. So there's a report out there that New England was trying to come up and get a receiver, and New England ultimately does in early part of the second round there, that New England wanted to come up maybe for Leggett or maybe for Coleman. And the Bills said no to New England, but they took a deal from the Chiefs. And the way that it's phrased is the Bills blocked the Patriots. But it sounds more so that they just didn't take a trade. They didn't block them out. They didn't want what they had to offer. Here it is at A to Z Sports. They wanted to get back in the first round. The Patriots did. They had an offer on the table. Mike Reese of ESPN. Patriots had conversations with the Bills about their number 32 overall pick in round one. The Bills ended up going in a different direction. The trade offer on the table. The Bills were at 32. The Patriots wanted to go from 34 to 32 to jump Carolina. Receivers Leggett and Keon Coleman were selected at 32 and 33 before the Patriots traded back from 34. Mm-hmm. So, and his hunch is they wanted Leggett. So, I don't know that that's blocking New England, so it's just not taking their deal. The Bills did get a trade up in that spot. It's not like they didn't trade with New England because they can't trade in division, right?
I mean, where they're at, how would you, what if it came down to New England and Kansas City? Who would you pick?
Well, it's too late. They had already traded with Kansas City.
I see.
This is when Bills are at 32.
Yeah.
New England calls about moving from 34 to 32, and the Bills say, nah, we'll take the Panthers at 33.
Right.
So I don't think it really is that they blocked New England so much as they just said no thanks.
That doesn't sound like that to me.
All right.
It'd be funny if it was true, but I don't think it's true.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Got a 54-50 here. Going to break in. Sal Capaccio joins us. And more of your calls on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.